Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope you're excited for church today. It's the last service of 2018 for Cory, Pennsylvania. Glory to God. You know, there's wonderful, God's doing wonderful things here. We're excited about it. We still stay excited. But, you know, sometimes even when things are going on, it can be tough to stay excited about something. But, you know, the Bible tells us he's given us the ability to do something in that case when you're not excited. And it's called stir yourself up. Amen. And I just love that Paul instructed Timothy to stir yourself up when it doesn't look like it's going right. Stir yourself up when it doesn't look like it's the word's working. You stir yourself up. Amen. You stir yourself up. What do you stir yourself up on? The promises of God. Amen. The same promises that got you excited in the first place, those are the same promises that you want to be stirring yourself up in. Amen. And you just continue to tell God that you know that they're true. Praise the Lord. When the devil brings stuff against you, you continue to tell him that you know that God's promises are true. They're indeed true. They're in fact true. It is of a fact that they are true and they aren't changing. Praise the Lord, because my God don't change. And so if my God don't change, guess what? Your God don't change, amen. And if our God don't change, then that means his promises are still true. They're still apply, praise the Lord, and we're going to walk in them, amen. Because we're not going to be those who faint, praise the Lord, get discouraged. And the Bible warns us about all that. Why do you suppose it warns us about it? Well, probably because you feel it, right? And the fact that God knew that you would feel it, he warned you about it. And so there's no reason to get, there's no excuse, I should say, to get discouraged by what doesn't seem to be happening. We stay encouraged by what we know God is doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, today I'm going to talk to you. Today's message is called Godly Renovation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll get there. Hallelujah. Godly renovation, praise God, and kind of have a subtitle, what it is to be born again, amen? And we're going to be talking about that today, but first I'm going to talk to you a little bit about perspective, hallelujah. You know, today, sometimes I just stay around my house and pray and seek the Lord, and then sometimes I like to go out for a drive and pray and seek the Lord. And today I was out for a drive, and there's some roads that I like to drive down. I just like the scenery. I like where they are, you know, and it just reminds me of how good God is, and I just like to drive down them and get excited. You ever do that? I don't know. I do. It might be weird, but I get excited. So these roads I drive down, and today I decided to go a different way, amen, I ended up, as I was coming back home, I went in reverse order, hallelujah. I went back the way I usually come, amen. I went from a different direction, and I felt kind of, I don't want to say over-spiritualize my day and say, oh, you know, that Jesus was sitting right next to me telling me what to do, but I just, you know, sensed it would be a good thing to go this other way. You ever do that? It just seems good, so I'm just going to go this way, amen. But you know, the Bible says that a righteous man or a good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And since I know that God doesn't prefer to talk, you know, God could sit right next to us and talk in a way that we could hear him, but God doesn't prefer to talk that way. Amen. Why? Because that way don't take any faith. Amen. But we know that God will lead us and guide us. Amen. And so as I was driving, I was going in reverse order, and I went up a road that I usually come down. Amen. So I'm going up a road I usually come down. Hallelujah. A different perspective. And that's what I thought as I was driving up the road. I'm like, you know what? I'm giving a different perspective today. Hallelujah. And I didn't think too much about it other than that. I was kind of meditating on that as I was praying. And, you know, as I was going, all of a sudden I see something off into the woods that I hadn't seen before. And I kind of put on the brakes and backed up, and I even got out of my truck and went and looked at it, praise the Lord. And it was just something neat. It was something cool that I saw in the woods. But you know, I've driven that road 1,000 times, not really 1,000, but I've driven it a bunch of times, amen, and I've never seen this thing before. The reason I saw it is because I was coming at it from a different angle, amen. And you know, and what the Lord spoke to me as I was leaving there was, or dealt with me, I should say, in my spirit. Didn't really speak it to me, but dealt with me in my spirit. Was about how so often in life, you know, Christians, we get caught up in doing the same thing over and over. We're always going down the same road, so to speak. We're always going the same direction. You know, you get up in the morning, first thing you do is you brush your teeth. And then the second thing you do is you wash your face or whatever you do, you know, whatever order things are in. And then you eat breakfast. And, you know, my daughter and I, we have a routine pretty much the same every morning. I don't understand why we're still up late half the time. You know what I mean? But it's the same routine every single morning. We're not really late, but you always feel like you're you know. If you're someone like me, I hate being late, so even if I'm 5 minutes early, I feel like I'm being late. But at any rate, we do the same thing over and over and over again, and oftentimes, even spiritually, we do things the same way over and over again, and we get ourselves just kind of in a rut of, this is what we do. But God is a God of perspective. You know, he sits up there in heaven and he can scan the whole earth. He can look at everything. He can look from every angle. And sometimes what the Lord was showing me today, I believe this, is sometimes when you look, come at something, the same road or the same issue from a different angle, you'll see it a little bit differently. You'll get a different perspective. And this is why it's good to be connected to God and not get caught up in just doing the same old thing. We don't want to just have church the same way that we always did. You know, that's why God, we always say God is a forward-moving God. We're constantly doing something in the church. You know, I said to my wife today as we're on our way down here, I said, it'd be nice, you know, we got projects going on here as you've probably seen as you come in. But, you know, I said, it'd be nice to just be done with projects. And she said, yeah, but will they ever really be done? You know, the truth is, no, they won't. Why? Because we're always doing something else. Why? Because we're keeping it fresh. We're keeping things fresh. We need to keep our lives fresh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, that's free, no charge. I thought it was good, and I wanted to share it with you. And we need to know this. Christians, we need to stay fresh and flourishing. We don't want to get stale and old. Amen. There's nothing fun about stale, is there? There's nothing fun about it. You ever have a piece of stale bread? You ever get into some crackers that are in the cupboard? You're really excited to get into that cracker. And you get the first one in your mouth and you spit it out because it's stale. Well, that's the way a lot of Christians are. We need to, you know, we don't want to be stale Christians. We want to be fresh and flourishing. We want to be renewed. Amen. Nobody buys dead flowers, wilted flowers. Amen. Everybody wants the fresh cut flowers. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to be God's fresh cut flowers. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're going to start in Proverbs 16. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16, verse 9. And I don't know if I was in it in this church or if it was in it in the other church. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, the Lord just gave me some more stuff on it. And so today we're talking about godly renovation. Amen. What I mean by godly renovation, you know, renovation, I may know what renovation is in a house. You know, you get an old house. Our first house together was an old house. Amen. And I had to do lots of renovation to it. Amen. I needed to bring it up to a place that it was habitable. Amen. Hallelujah. But then once it was habitable, we wanted to bring it up to a standard that we enjoyed it. Amen. You know, and that's exactly what God did with us with Jesus, is that he wanted to take us from a place that we were that wasn't good and bring us and make us new into a place that was suitable for him. Amen. And so often, you know, as people come into the church or whatever, they come into a church and they get hooked up, and the plan of God is, you know, they're taught about the plan of God, and at first it's exciting and stuff like that. But, you know, after some time goes by, sometimes what happens to a lot of Christians is they're like, you know, they just don't feel like they did when they first came in. And how many understand, you know, this is part of that stirring of yourself. See, the problem is what people do is they come in and they come in at a level and they try to maintain that level. But see, if we maintain a level consistently, we're not growing in the Lord. God intends us to consistently be, you know, the Bible says to be, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know, that word be transformed means, it gives us the idea that we are to continually be transformed, that our transformed, that we are attaining something. The Bible says we go from glory to glory at one level to another level. And so we understand that if we come in, if we stay where we're at, it's not because God desires us to, it's because that's where we stay. Amen. And God wants us to grow further. Amen. But these scriptures have been on my heart, some of these, and so I want to share them with you. Amen. In Proverbs 16, verse 9, says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Praise the Lord. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You know, now in context, we can understand this, that it means a good man. You know, and I quoted the scripture a few minutes ago, but I'll do it again. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Amen. So we understand that in context, what the scripture is talking about is a good man, somebody whose heart is right before the Lord. What's a good man or a good woman? It's somebody who wants to be pleasing to God. Amen. It's somebody who will allow God to work in their lives, somebody who's going to be open to the plan of God. And when I say the plan of God, I don't just mean the plan of God in general, but I mean what God wants you to do. Hallelujah. We all have to understand this, that we have all been saved for a purpose. And because we're saved for a purpose, if we don't walk in that purpose, then it's kind of a shame that Jesus paid all that price for us not to get all the way there. Amen. And so as Christians, we need to walk out the plan of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. A good man's the steps of a good man are order of the Lord, and he delights in his way. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Amen. And really what the scripture is about is really simple. This is something, again, I've been meditating on a lot. But, you know, as we, our heart is to be our God, our heart or our spirit. The Bible often refers to heart as the spirit of man. Amen. And we understand through study that the spirit is on the inside of us, the inward witness, sometimes we call it. We have an unction, sometimes we call it, all these things. But it's talking about the inside of us. And so sometimes there'll be things on the inside of us that just seem right to do, as we are Christians who desire to please God. Amen. But see, this is a problem when Christians don't desire to please God. What do I mean by this? I mean, Christians that come in and they just want to live the same way they always did. Now they just want salvation on top of it. That's not being a Christian. You know, you may or may not be saved. I have a hard time believing somebody who comes in and doesn't want to change, somebody who doesn't want to go after God. I'm not saying people who deal with a hard time. You know, I'm talking about people who just don't ever want change. I have a hard time believing they're ever really Christians. Because how can you be something if you act completely opposite of it? You know what I mean? As a pastor, one of the things that I've understood very thoroughly throughout my life as a pastor and even before was that change was something that God was, it's inevitable. It's something that God is going to continually do. Amen. And so I've learned to try to get used to hanging on to little. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we can hang on to, how many know that a parent who hangs on to a child for too long can cause damage? I knew a lady once, her mom did not want to let her go. This woman was made an invalid because her mom would never let her go. She kept her under her control until she was in her 40s. And then by the time her mom passed away, she still, when she was in her 40s, she looked like she was in her 60s. When she was in her 60s, she thought she was 100. I mean, she just seemed so old and everything was always wrong. And it was her, and understanding, it was that control on her life, amen? So her mother didn't want to let her go and grow up into the things that God had called her to do. And so, so it helped people. Well, we can do that as well. Amen. And we don't want to be Christians that are holding the plan of God back. We want to be Christians that are flowing with all that God wants us to do. And so we understand that if we have the right heart, if we have the right heart towards God, that our heart is going to lead us into that plan. Praise the Lord. But God will direct our steps. Amen. That's exactly what the word tells us. It says the Lord will direct our steps. So as we're moving towards those things that seem right to do, God is going to connect with us and give us the ability to do it. Amen. See, so many people, they come to God in prayer and they're expecting God to answer first, give all the direction first. But what does the Bible say here? It says a man's heart plans his way. A man's heart plans his way. God deals with us first through our hearts. What's on your heart? If you're somebody who's after God, what's on your heart? What little things? Say, listen, the newest Christian that knows nothing about the Lord coming in just hungry for God, God will start dealing with their hearts immediately. When people sit in the seats and we give salvation call and the first time they raise their hand, that's God dealing with their hearts. God is dealing with their hearts, but their heart plans the way. Their heart says what to do, but God will direct those steps. And so we have to understand that. It's the same way with God. People are like you know, we didn't wait for a congregation or a group of people to come down to Mayville from Corey and say, hey, God wants you to plant a church down here. No, what we did was we followed the leading of God. And then we did what he did, and God delights in that way. God delights as we step out in faith and do those things. And sometimes those things that we are called to do, even for a time, they don't look like they're successful. But see, this is why we have to know. We have to learn to know the voice of God. We have to learn to know what the leading of God is. And as we do that, praise the Lord, step by step, we'll work it all out. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How do we learn that? By saying yes to that inward witness. When we get that inward witness, we just go with it. Lord, I believe this is you, and I'm going to do it. Sometimes if we don't know, we present it to people that are more spiritual than us. I'm going to give you a little, just a little bit of insight into something. I have a lot of people in my congregation. I have for 5 years. But I can count on probably one hand the amount of times that people have come to me and said, Pastor, what do you think about this? This is what seems right to me, but I'm not sure. What do you think about this? Judge this. No, most of the time when people come to you, it's just, this is what God's telling me to do. And they go do it. And a lot of times it's not successful. Praise the Lord. Why does God give us people in our lives to help us? Because he wants to help us. Yeah. Amen. God doesn't send me to somebody who knew less than I did. He sent me to somebody who knew more than I did. Amen. And continues to. And as I reach out to them, I don't do anything major in my life without presenting it before my pastors. Before Pastor Tim and Pastor Michael, praise the Lord, I go to them and I say, what do you think about this? This is what seems right in my heart, but I want your input into this. And they give it, and it's successful when it happens. Why? Because by the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing shall be established. Not by the mouth of one person, not by the mouth, you understand. And so this will just help you as we're planning. Sometimes people come to me and they say, oh, this is what God is telling me to do. Be careful of that. When you go to your pastor and say, this is what God is telling you to do, you have just closed my mouth. Praise the Lord. I can't speak into your life. I can't share something with you. I can't take it any further unless God directs me to, because you've already determined that that's what God told you to do. And I'm not bigger than God. I'm not over God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I've had people come to me and say, this is what God told me to do. And I knew it wasn't what God told them to do, because God wouldn't tell them to do something that stupid. Hallelujah. God wouldn't tell them to do something that would end up in that much turmoil. Amen. And so we have to understand that there are ways, and it matters how we approach things. Amen. That's why I tell people all the time, you know, you have to, I don't try to give my pastor revelation. I don't try to give Pastor Michael revelation, praise the Lord. I try to get revelation. Amen. This is what it means to be before people and learn how to receive from them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I don't know if you know this, but this message is really good. Praise the Lord. This is helping you. This is bringing you something. Amen. Hallelujah. I know it's maybe a little bit different, but it's good, because this is fundamental. This stuff that I'm talking about is fundamental into learning to follow God. And when you know the voice of God, then things become light and easy. Amen. But see, most Christians, they don't ever take time to develop the voice of God, because they don't understand that God even talks to them. They just go, I'm going to do this, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, a lot of people go to God like that. Yeah. This is what I'm going to do. Bless it. You know, they might not say it just that way, but essentially that's what they're saying. Yeah. You know, we can get into semantics, but really that's what they're saying. That maybe they didn't say that, but they're just like, you know, Lord, I want this person, and that's all that I want. You know, please bring this person to me. Please give me this house. Please give me this car. Please give me this. Please give me this. Please give me this. Please give me this. You haven't even sought God to see if it's for you. Praise the Lord. You have never asked God, and you notice God was silent about it. Have you noticed that? God was silent about it. Why? Because when you are adamant on having your own way, he's not necessarily going to tell you. He's going to let you find out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, there's, praise God, and I could go into so many examples I'm not going to today, but I've seen it so many times where people don't stop to take time to find out what God's plan is, to find out what God wants them to do, amen? Now, on the other hand, sometimes people know what God wants them to do, and they do nothing about it. They're waiting for God to make it all come to pass. They're waiting for God to lay out the red carpet, so to speak, and so they can just go out and walk on water. You know, Peter didn't walk on water until he stepped out the boat. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It took faith to step over the edge of the boat into those waves. You know it did. Why did he do it? Because he had faith. He used faith. And it's the same thing for us. God's going to present things to you that look like an impossibility. Amen? I remember this was one of the first buildings that we came across when we first started coming down to Corey, just thinking about opening a church. We weren't even planning on it then. We were just looking at it. But this was one of the first buildings we came across. And man, I was like, wow, I got excited as I pulled up. And I was like, man, that's a nice building. But I bet it's expensive. And it was, praise the Lord. At the time, it was almost a third more than what we paid for it. Amen. I didn't have money. My congregation didn't have the money. We didn't have the person who normally that loaned us money for the church before the church in Mayville had just told me that he didn't have any money. Praise the Lord. So there was no money to be had, hallelujah, to get the building. But how many know it was the plan of God? And we were going to buy a lesser building. We found a lesser building in Corey, and we could pay for it almost like almost in cash kind of thing. It was like that good of a price. But you know, I was kind of tossed on some things, and I was going away to some special meetings with Reverend Greer, and as we went, you know, of course, one of the things I do when I go to special meetings, I hope you do this when you come to a special meeting. You're in one right now if you didn't know. Amen. But when you go to a special meeting, you know, church service, praise the Lord, you go expecting to get answers for stuff. I don't go to church without expecting to get answers. Amen. So I'm going to get answers is what I decided. And I did. I went down there and the Lord directed me while I was down there that in fact was not the building. And this in fact was the building. Praise the Lord. Well, I still didn't know when I came back how I was going to do it. Well, I'm just going to make a long story short. God worked all the details out and we were able to walk into it. Praise the Lord. Fairly pain-free. Hallelujah. And it was good. It was the blessing of the Lord. And guess what? We're still here. We're blessed. Amen. Something I didn't know how to do when we started off, praise the Lord, but the Lord directed my steps. Yeah. And see, that's how it is our heart is right before the Lord. We say, Lord, I want your plan. I want what you have. God will direct our steps. He will guide you through your heart. Something will stir in your heart. Amen. And then you check and see, Lord, is this right? Is this right before you? Is this what you want to do? And then he starts opening doors. But you have to go to the doors and see if they even open. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, the day I called about this building, it was a few days after, a week or so, maybe after I got back from Gatlinburg, a couple weeks after I got back, I had hesitation on calling on this building, amen? And so I waited, and a couple weeks after I got back, I remember that, I finally decided it was time to call, and I called, and the man that I called and talked to was the man who was the liaison that made this all happen, praise the Lord. He said, oh yeah, we were just about to list the building back with a realtor, which how many know that's not ideal because they get fees, amen, and it costs money, you know what I mean? It would have cost at least probably $5,000 to $10,000, maybe more extra just for those fees. But so we avoided those fees, and he said, and we just dropped the price of the building $70,000. Well, that's pretty impressive. I didn't even have to ask for a discount. God provided it for me, amen. Praise the Lord. And I didn't go to him and say, well, drop it another 70 or I'm not taking it. Hallelujah. You see, you gotta know, praise the Lord. Sometimes you pay just what they, you know, glory to God. And sometimes God will have you talk people down. But the key is following the Lord. You know, it could look either way. It doesn't matter. And this is what people get hung up on. It doesn't have to look that way every time. Amen. One of the things I love is when other people told me how they got rich. Yeah, I love when other people told me how they got blessed. You know, you want to go to another pastor who's successful and say, how did you do it? And how did it happen? You don't care so much how they did it, but how did it happen? How did God make it happen? Well, why do we do that? Because we want it to happen for us that way. But God doesn't do things that way. God said, you know how they made it happen? Is they sought the Lord. When you seek the Lord, he'll show you how it'll happen. Whether it'll be this or that, doesn't matter how it happened. We give the testimony to stir people and get them excited. But you know, if you just start going up to people, blind people, and spitting in their eyes, you're probably not going to have the same success rate Jesus did. Amen? And you're going to look like a fool. Praise the Lord. You see, because there wasn't something in the Bible that said this is how you had to do it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't say, because I spat in your eye, because I rubbed mud in your eye, because I gave you a Holy Ghost wet willy, now you can hear. He didn't say that, amen? What did he say? He said, because of your faith. So Jesus always dealt with the faith, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's turn to Titus. We're going to be here a couple times today. Praise the Lord. I love the phrase as we're turning here, the Lord willing. I was with Pastor Webb, Pastor Scott Webb. Some of you know him, some of you don't, but that's okay. Hopefully more of you will know him more later. Praise the Lord. But Pastor Scott Webb, I was with him on a bear hunt. And Pastor Scott Webb is a great man of faith. Hallelujah. I love his faith. Great man of faith. He's taught me so much about faith in just the short time that I've known him. But Pastor Scott Webb, he was we were on this bear hunt together, and the guide that was on the bear hunt was he said he believed in God. I don't know if he really claimed to be a Christian or whatever, but, you know, he knew some church lingo or godly lingo, amen. You know, Christianese, we call it sometimes. He knew some good Christianese, and because he knew we were all pastors, he was talking some Christianese, and this one phrase that came out of his mouth so often, it got annoying, but everything was God willing, God willing. He said, "Well, I'm going to do this, God willing." He said, "If God willing, we're going to get some bears today, praise the Lord." Well, I remember Pastor Webb, he had just about enough of God willing. And one time, the outfitter, he said God willing one too many times. And Pastor Webb just turned to him and he said, "God is willing. Now let's go get some bears." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, "God is willing." I love that. See, that's the thing. We have to understand. Like, we don't sit around arbitrarily saying God willing. No, we say God is willing. Amen. Praise. Now that doesn't mean God is willing in every single idea you come up with. But it's our job to find out what God is willing to do. Amen. We don't sit around saying God willing. That's a cheap Christian way of taking responsibility again off them and putting it on God, saying if it doesn't happen, it must be God. Praise the Lord. Listen, you know, I've been ranting about this lately, but you know, God isn't controlling every little thing in life. Amen. You get a good parking spot, it isn't because God blessed you. Hallelujah. It is because you got a good parking. There just happened to be an open spot. Amen. Because there'll be 50 times that you didn't get a parking spot, and God was not holding back. God is willing that you should have a good parking spot. Amen. Get there at the right time and you might find a good parking spot. But God isn't sitting up there manipulating cars and keeping cars out, generally speaking, so you would have a good parking spot. Amen. That's not the way God works. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't do good things in our life and gives us things. Of course, He does things and will show us things that will come out of the blue. God will do stuff like that. But we have to understand that we can't walk through life superstitiously. We have to walk in the will and the plan of God with purpose. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you could use your faith and say, you know what? By God, I am always going to have a good parking spot. And you may just find that you'll do that. Amen. I personally don't want to spend that much faith on that. So you can spend your faith on that if you want, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It might be better in this day and age that you walked anyways. Glory to God. I'm finding that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Titus 1:15, have we found it? Amen. Praise the Lord. You here with me tonight? Glory to God. Titus 1:15. Love these scriptures. We're going to read verses 15 and 16. Look at what it says here. To the pure, all things are pure. Oh, isn't that good? To the pure, all things are pure. Praise God. Listen, if you're pure, all things are pure. Do you know that if you're pure before the Lord, everything that you decide to eat is going to be pure? Yeah. Everything you decide to do is going to be pure. Now, don't get this wrong. This does not mean that just because you're a child of God, everything you do is going to be pure, because it's not going to be. We have to make sure that those things are pure. We have to live pure, and then all things are pure. In other words, what God is saying here is those whose conscience is not burdened by what they're doing, it's pure. It's good. You can do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Wow. If you're defiled and unbelieving, oh, glory to God. Listen, now this is written to Christians. You understand that, right? Praise the Lord. Wait a minute. You mean that those defiled and unbelieving people aren't just outside of the church? No, there can be people inside the church that are defiled and unbelieving. Praise the Lord, because they're not living pure. They're not living according to the plan, the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. There has been so much in my heart lately about getting people to hook up with the plan of God. Not just become Christians, that's great. Not just come to church, that's great. Get connected to the plan. What is God calling us to do as a body? That's about all of us. It's not just about me. It's not just about me and four other people. It's about all of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Those are the people who are pure. Who are the defiled and the unbelieving? The ones who won't go with what God's doing. The ones who resist the plan of God continually and constantly. Those are the ones that are pure. It says unbelieving. It doesn't mean that those who don't believe in Jesus. It means those who don't believe. Those who don't trust in God. You know, there's been so much on my heart about this, about trusting God and what it is to trust God. We need to learn to trust God. He has us where he has us for a reason. He has us there and he'll bless us there because that's how God does it. That's trusting God. I just know it. I'm not changing. I'm not moving because God, because I need something better, or I'm not going to quit because I need something, you know, whatever. No, I'm going to continue in the plan of God because I know it's blessed. Praise the Lord. That's what believing is. So unbelieving is the opposite of that. Praise the Lord. You know, you can show your belief, your faith on your face. We talk to people all the time about this. Like, it matters how you come to church. It matters how you are about the plan of God. It matters. Listen, I can't go around. If I sit around thinking about every negative thing that there is about pastoring, I can get depressed very quickly. There's been times where it's come on me, and I've followed that path so far down the path, and then I realized, wait a minute, that's unbelieving. That's not faith. That's not living. No, I'm blessed to be in the plan of God. That's believing. Amen. Guess what? If I go down that road, or when I've gone down that road, guess what? I wasn't pure. Nothing was pure. Everything was defiled. Why? Because I was living defiled. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does that mean? You put a little yeast in the batter, it doesn't matter if it's a little or a lot. It's still yeast. It's still leavened. That's what leavening is. Leaven. That's what it is. Praise the Lord. And so what it's saying is that you mix in a little, amen, and it makes a lot. Praise the Lord. It ruins the whole batch. Praise the Lord. But look at this. It says, but even their mind and their conscience are defiled. People who are not pure, even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They want the leading of God. They want to follow the leading of God. That's what they say. But because of how they live, because they live impure, the leading is defiled. It's not the leading of God at all because it's defiled. This is where so many Christians miss it. Because they think, well, I've had Christians come to me and tell them that God has moved them out of the church. No, God isn't moving you out of your church. He's not moving you out of the only place that you're being fed. It's stupidity to believe that. I preach about that, but it still doesn't stop people. See, everything, when you start following that path of unbelief, when you start, listen, belief is, it's even this. When we got to step out, the Bible tells us to be led by, we have to walk in faith. Right? The Bible says that the just will live by faith. Amen. They will live by faith. So what is faith? Faith is believing. So if you're living constantly unbelieving, you're not living by faith. You're not just, you're not pure. And so then everything that you do, this is why, folks, it matters what we do. It matters how we get our minds. It matters how we stir ourselves up. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants to do good things in us, but he can't. Now look at this. It continues on. Verse 16. Praise the Lord. I think I flipped. Nope. I was flipped. Amen. Hallelujah. They profess to know God. It's talking about Christians. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Praise the Lord. That's what it means. In works they deny him. What they do, they say they know God. Do you know any Christians that fit this bill? Christian, do you fit this bill? In your works, you deny God. Is everything in your life about you? Is everything in your life about following your plan and to figure out what you want or what God, you know what I mean? And not figuring out what God has for you to do. Not figuring out how, you know, listen. We have a precious sister in here. Praise the Lord. Chris Calhoun back there. But when we started the Mayville Church, hallelujah. When we started the Mayville Church, one of the reasons that it grew like it did was because we had somebody who cared enough about the work that was out there constantly. Everyone she talked about the church. She talked about her pastor. She talked about how wonderful it was. Nothing had even happened yet, but she was still talking about how wonderful it was. Praise the Lord. Why did the church grow? Because people get addicted to that stuff. They hear that and they're like, you know, I want some of that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Do we have that in Corey? Do we have people in Corey? I'm not just talking about the people from Corey. I'm talking about the people that are connected to what the plan of God. The plan of God, I told the people in Mayville recently, I said, you know what? I said, what stops you from once every 6 months going down there meeting somebody and saying, you know what, we got a great church here. But see, people are too busy. They won't do stuff like that. See, we want to plan a work. We want to do the work, but nobody wants to do the labor. They think, well, the pastors will do it. Well, guess what? It's not just up to us, although we've done that. We continue to do that, amen? But it's not just up to us. If it's up to us to grow, the church will never grow. The people, we are to train you for the work of the ministry. You go out there and you cause. You cause the stir, amen? You say, well, I don't ever meet anybody. You ever go to Walmart? Praise the Lord. Sometimes you got to step out. You ever go to eat a dinner out or eat a lunch out? Praise the Lord. You ever get gas for your vehicle? Praise God. You have anyone deliver mail to your house? I mean, come on. Now, we can get creative here if we need to, but it's not hard to cause a stir. But this is what it takes to do that. Amen. If we didn't have people doing that, I've learned the preciousness of having somebody in your church or people in your church who are willing and desire to see God's work come to pass. Amen. I remember Bob and Chris and just how excited they were because God was bringing them a church to their town. Now they didn't have to drive a half hour. They could drive 5 minutes and be there. Amen. Glory to God. And they got good looking pastors on top of it. Hallelujah. Not that that matters for much of anything, but if I was up here with if I had a nose hanging off over here or something like that, big old, horn sticking out or something, it'd be a lot harder to listen to the message. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you're probably blessed more than when my wife's up here. Hallelujah. But hallelujah. But see, people profess to know God. They say they know God, but they deny him by their works. That, all the things that they do, they're like, they're just, and I'm not talking about being perfect, but I'm talking about stirring yourself and being excited, amen? Praise the Lord. I am the least type of person, the last type of person that wants to be in a pulpit, that wants to be before people, that wants to be around people sometimes, amen? Hallelujah. That's not my personality necessarily. I mean, I don't mind being around people as long as they're people I want to be around. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I want to pick and choose. Well, I don't like this, so I can walk away. You know what I mean? Well, sometimes as a pastor, you don't get that option. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying I don't like any of you. I love all of you. Praise the Lord. And I love being around all of you. But what I'm saying is that in my personality, naturally speaking, I wasn't that person. You wouldn't have liked me the way that I was. Amen. I wasn't near as nice as I am now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. We better get moving here. Praise God. Hallelujah. So they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Amen. We don't want to be people that deny God by our works. See, we have been, we're going to see this. I want to get there. Turn with me to Ephesians 2:8. Praise the Lord. I know when we are talking about renovation here, because we understand that God did not create us to just be, he didn't just save us to just be saved. There was so much more he saved us for. Amen. Ephesians 2:8. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So we see here, the Bible talks about grace. You know, we have not been saved by what we did. Praise God for it. We have not been saved because of how good we were or how much money we made or how much how nice we were. You know, I was vile. I came out of the gutter and God still saved me. Praise God. Is there anybody else who can say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It still took something on your part to receive salvation. Jesus died for everybody, but not everybody receives salvation. So we understand that it's through faith. There's a part that we had to play in salvation. Amen. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Is there anyone here that can boast about how good they are that they got saved? Nope. You can't. And I'm just saving you the trouble of being stoned right now. We'll just tell you up front, you weren't. Praise the Lord. You can't boast about God saving you or in the sense that you did something. You can boast on God, but you can't boast on yourself. Amen. And verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, God doesn't want us to be able to claim the glory for it all. Amen. Praise the Lord. God does want us to be exalted, however, but he's the one who does the exalting. Not me. I didn't exalt myself. Amen. Praise God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we, what? Should walk in them. Amen. So we see this, you know, see this idea of Christianity. We're just saved by grace, and by grace we live, and just grace. Grace was important. Grace is the bridge that got us to Jesus, got us to God. Amen. Jesus was the grace. Amen. It was Jesus' blood that paved the way. We couldn't do it. Grace got us there. Amen. But we don't just continue to live in grace. And what I mean by that is I'm not saying that grace isn't still active in our life. Of course it's still active in our lives because you're still going to jack things up. You're going to still do things that are stupid. You're still going to make mistakes, amen? And grace is there for when we don't make it, amen? But we are not called to just live by grace in the sense that we just barely get along. That everything, we bounce off the walls and maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. You know what I'm saying? We're not called to do that. We're called to make a plan. How can our hearts plan the way? How can our hearts plan the way if we don't let it? If people are just like, well, if it happens, it happens. If it's God, it's God. You know, I heard a Christian minister preaching on the street. Man, he was saying some stupid things. But he said to this person, he's like, what if God just plucks your life away from you right now? God doesn't pluck lives away from people. But people still believe this garbage. They believe that God is manipulating everything. And if you believe that God is manipulating everything, you will never find a God. You will never find the God who blesses you. You will never find the God who increases you. You'll never find the God who heals you. You'll never find that God. If you believe that all things are manipulated by that God, then you don't believe in the same God of this Bible. You are not going to get the God in this Bible. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we see this, that we were saved for good works, that we should walk in them. But see, so many Christians, they don't even understand that they were saved, so they should walk in them. They just don't, praise the Lord. That's the truth. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love this scripture, and I love it even more that God gave me some revelation recently on this that I never had before. What does this scripture say? God demonstrates. He demonstrates. How does God demonstrate his love? In that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates it through what he did. He continually demonstrates his love through what he did. God isn't showing his love. God's showing his love through what he did. Not what's going to happen, not all these other things. He showed it through what he did. Everything was wrapped up in what Jesus did. That was the answer. The deliverance that all the deliverance we'd ever need was wrapped up in what he did. Not what he was going to do, but what he did. Amen? So God demonstrates continually his love in what he did. Yeah. See, so many people, if they don't get that concept, they're waiting for God to do something. They're waiting for God to heal them. Yeah. No, he did. He demonstrated his love in that he did. Yeah, yeah. Not that he was going to, that he did. Yeah. What was given to us on salvation? Well, it's up to us to learn that, isn't it? Yeah. We just happen to like to teach that. Amen? We teach people that God already healed you. We teach people that God already blessed you. If you're sitting around, oh, doesn't happen, you don't believe that he did. And if you don't believe that he did, you're outside of faith. You're not living the way God wanted you to live. What did the Bible say about those who are unbelieving? It says, yeah, they're defiled. Nothing they do is pure. If you're unbelieving, if you don't believe that God did, how can you believe? Listen. If you're waiting for God to do something, listen to what I'm saying. If you're waiting for God to do something, then you don't believe. And if you don't believe, you're defiled and impure. If you're waiting for God to do something, he's already done it. See, yes, it may not have manifested yet. I understand that, but see, this is where the problem gets, is because people don't seem to ever get over this hump. They're waiting for it to happen. God already did it. Yeah. I said he already did it. Yeah. Yeah. He already did everything he was going to do. He isn't going to deliver you any more than he already did. Right. It's already been done. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have been created in Christ for what? Good works. We have been recreated, you could say, because we were already there, amen. We weren't, so we were recreated, or we were born again, amen, into good works. Praise the Lord. A lot of people don't do good works because they're waiting for God to do something. I said, well, I can't give into that offering because I'm waiting for God to bless me. You can't give into that offering because you won't. I can't tithe because I'm waiting for God to give me the ability to tithe. He didn't say wait till you have the ability. He said to do it. I'm waiting to serve until God gives me this ability or that ability. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to give you a little piece of it, a little lesson from my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I served God in the hardest points of my life. My wife and I both did. But I'm talking about me personally. I was an usher, and I caught people. Praise the Lord. I had ushers all the time tell me, I got a back problem, I got this problem, I got that problem, I can't catch tonight. Okay, guess what? Somebody needed to do it. Guess who did? I did. Guess who had back problems? I did. Some days I couldn't even bend over. When I started pastoring, I couldn't even bend over to tie my shoe. Barely could tie my own shoe. That's how bad my back was. What did I do, though? I served God no matter what. Why am I able to tie my shoe today? Why am I able to stand strong? Because I serve God. I just did the work. Now, I'm not telling you to do something against your conscience, but I am telling you this. Sometimes you can't, but you do it anyways because God called you to do it. See, it matters what you know God's called you to do. Amen. If God's called you to be somewhere, then you got to start taking a different mentality about something. If God's called me to be in this church, then by God, I'm a supply to this church. I'm not just talking financially, I'm talking about every area, but I am including finances in that. If God has called me to this, I am a supply here. If God has called me to do this, then there's something more for me to do. If God has called me anywhere, then there is provision for me there. I ain't got to worry about where it's going to come in from because it's got to come because this is where God has called me to be. You understand what I'm saying? God already did. See, people, but the problem is Christians are waiting around for God to bless them. And then they wonder why nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes. They wonder why nothing in their life ever changes. It never changes because they never walk in faith. They never believe that God did. They never say, like, you have been recreated. If you've accepted Jesus, you've been, we're going to see this, you've been recreated in Christ for good works. When do you start? After you've been recreated, after you've been, you're not waiting for, oh, praise God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't know if this is helping you, but it helped me. Praise the Lord, glory to God. Let's turn, we're going to go back to Titus. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Go back to Titus, go to chapter 3. Hallelujah. Titus 3, we're going to go down to verse 4. Oh, this is good. This is good stuff here. Praise the Lord. You're getting your help. You don't even know it. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, some people are still waiting for it to appear. They're looking for the goodness of God, but it's already here. God demonstrates his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Today, he still demonstrates his love 2,000 years ago. He doesn't demonstrate it any other way. See, people are waiting for God to come out of heaven and do something miraculous. That's not how God demonstrates his love. He already demonstrated his love. He's not demonstrating it, and he demonstrates it this way. The Bible tells us this is how he demonstrates it. Why don't we just believe him? He demonstrates his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, while we still couldn't, he gave us the grace, he gave us his son, the ability to walk in all the plan that God gave us. That's how his love is demonstrated. His supply is demonstrated 2,000 years ago. His ability is demonstrated 2,000 years ago that when we walk in it, listen, oh, praise the Lord. I mean, I don't know how to say this any other way. If you don't step out, God's grace is never going to meet you. His ability ain't ever going to meet you. Faith is waiting for you to move. It isn't waiting for God. You know what building faith is? Building faith is getting yourself to the point where you realize that God is waiting for you to move. And that you can step out and do it because God said to do it, and not because you're waiting for everything to be perfect. Christians, they want everything to be perfect. They want everything to be laid out. They want everything to be figured out. Well, listen, if you want everything to be figured out, I'm just going to tell you it ain't. Hallelujah. You aren't going to know until you go. You won't. It can't happen. God doesn't work that way. He never did work that way. This Bible, if you go back through here, you never see God showing up ahead of time, except for in the beginning. He showed up before man and he laid it all out. He demonstrated his own love toward us ahead of time. He showed us. He said, here it is. It's all for you. Praise the Lord. You got to eat. You got to be the one that eats, amen? Praise the Lord. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, saying the same thing, isn't it? But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to stop there for a second. That word regeneration is also the word renovation. Hallelujah. I looked this up for you. Praise God. So you didn't have to Google it yourself. Renovation. I love the definition of renovation because this is what it means. This is what regeneration is. To restore to a former, better state as by cleaning, repairing, or rebuilding. Restore to life, restore to vigor, or restore to activity. What was a former state where we were better? God gave us everything we needed when he created the earth. When he put man in the garden, that's where man lost it. What did Jesus do? Jesus restored us to that place. That's what he redeemed us to that place. He bought that back with his blood. That's what it is. We've been renovated. Hallelujah.
That's so good.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Glory to God. It means that he's renewed us. He's renewed us into these things. Amen. It's a complete renewing is a complete change for the better. That's what it means. This is what Jesus has done in us. He has made us. He's changed us. He's given us that ability through the Holy Spirit to be something that we couldn't be, to do something that we couldn't do. So why are Christians running around still doing the same old stuff? Because they have no clue. They have no connection to this. They don't, wait a minute. You know, my wife and I recently, we were at, just the other day, we were at this, it was called the Darwin D. Martin House. It's a real famous house designed by this very famous architect, Frank Lloyd Wright. Praise the Lord. I'm a big fan of his works. Glory to God. Not so much the man. I mean, love the man, but he was he was a real shady character. But he had really, really beautiful buildings he designed. But at any rate, they're giving us the story of this house as we're going through it, and it's just immaculately restored. You know what I mean? The restoration without the special leaded glass windows that he had in the house. The restoration alone cost $50 million. Each window, and we're talking an average window like this big, each window approximately to restore them because of all the glass and it's art glasses, they're beautifully made. Each window costs, and this is above and beyond the $50 million, each window is $28,000 to restore it. I mean, it's just unreal money, right? Or the average price of the window. I see my wife looking, she's like, not every window, but the average price of the windows, okay? So we're $28,000. So they're expensive. You understand it's a lot of money at any rate. But what do they do now? They've restored this place. They've renovated this place. It's that same word, that same concept, amen? And this is what they did to it. And now what they do is they charge you money to walk you through the house. You're not allowed to touch anything. In fact, he said to us, the only thing that you should touch is what your feet have to touch to walk through the house. You shouldn't touch anything else, amen? So it's been brought back to us. See, this is what God has done in us. He's taken us from being something that was in shambles. It was about to be falling apart. You know, everything was falling down. The water was ruining it, all this stuff. But this is what God has done with us. He's restored us to a place of former glory. And now he's like, I want to protect that. Now I want to keep that. It's the same thing. He wants to keep that in us. It's precious to God. And yet Christians want to turn around and turn us back into apartment buildings.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? They want to come in and throw their feet up on the banister. They want to come in and they want to, you know, just kind of lounge around and do whatever. They don't treat the house of God. God put the temple inside us, and they ain't treating it like a temple. They're treating it like a garbage dump.
Yeah.
I said they're treating it like a garbage dump. Why does it matter? Because it mattered to God. He said, I want to do something. You know, the Bible tells us over and over that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. So we should matter to us what we do with them. We should take care of our bodies. We should dress the temple in a way that is honoring God. And you know what I mean? I don't mean just the clothes you wear or whatever, but I mean take care of things. You know what I mean? Understand that everything you do, you represent the Heavenly Father. You're representing Jesus because he's on the inside of you. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says there, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. We were vile and disgusting to God, and he came in and cleaned us up. Hallelujah. He came in and made us better. Amen? Praise the Lord. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He poured out God. He poured out the Spirit upon us abundantly. You understand the Spirit of God was the power of God manifested on the earth. The Spirit of God, wherever the Spirit of God was, there was power. Life came back. Amen? There was a cleaning, a cleansing, amen. There was all things were made new. It was by God's Spirit that everything returned or everything grew. It was like God is often referred to as light. You think about what the sun does; it makes and is also referred to as water. Amen. Equated to water. So we see God, what does sun and water do? Well, you have sun and water, praise the Lord, you have lush foliage. You have growth. You have the most beautiful flowers where they get watered and where they get sun. Amen. Those two things work together. Why do you think that God uses them? It matters. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of his eternal life. When it says that we should become heirs, it doesn't mean that we will become heirs. He said, okay, we've been justified by grace. The justification came in the grace. Now there's something more for us. Now we have to walk in something. There's more for us to get into. We have to understand that it doesn't just stop at salvation. Isn't this what we preach all the time? We should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We come heirs because we hope for things that are better, that we hope for what we don't see. Amen? This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly. Constantly affirm. You say yes constantly. You have to see it constantly. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. It matters what you do. It matters how you live. It matters what you do. Hallelujah. These things are good and profitable to men. Praise the Lord. Why is there such a lack of profitableness in the world today? Because Christians, by and large, they're not maintaining the good works. In this country, Christians do less than they did 100 years ago. Why? Because they've lost that sense of purpose. They've lost that sense of faith. They've lost that sense of things that matter. Praise the Lord. They're distracted by things that don't matter, and then they wonder why they're not doing good works, why they're not seeing God's blessing. Why you can't walk your own way and expect to see God's blessing. It just ain't going to happen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So real quick, turn with me to Romans 8:28. We're getting close to closing here. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've been saved for a purpose, folks. And that purpose is not just to spend it on ourselves. If you're blessed in life, you've been blessed with a purpose, for a purpose, not to just spend it on yourself. Now let's look at these scriptures here in a different light. Romans 8:28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for the good to what? Those who love God. What did Jesus say? He said, if you love me, do what I tell you to do. He said, don't call me Lord, Lord, and do not do those things which I've told you to do. Praise the Lord. He said, if you love me, do what I do. To those who love God, we know all things work together to who? Those who love God. To those who do what God has told them to do. What did he say? Do good works. We have to purpose to do good works. They don't just fall in our lap. We have to purpose to do it. Yeah. To those who are called according to his purpose. God has purpose. Amen. God didn't just randomly save us so we wouldn't go. God had purpose in saving us. There was Jesus walk. You know why Jesus walked so perfectly? Because he walked with perfect purpose. You know how you'll walk better? When you walk with purpose. When you walk with purpose toward God and not your own purpose. The reason that people fall into sin is because they walk according to their purpose and not God's purpose. But you start changing that. You start working towards God's purpose and you'll start walking better. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the firstborn, but he was not supposed to be the lastborn. What was he born into? He was born into the purpose and the plan of God, the blessings of God. Doors opened for Jesus when they needed to open. Why? Because he walked according to purpose. Christians, when you walk according to purpose, guess what? Your life will change. When church is more than just the social gathering, when it becomes more than just, oh, let's get together and have cookies and cake and potluck dinners, all that stuff is fine and dandy, but that is not the purpose of God. God did not call us together so we can sit around stinking up the place. He called us to get together and go out into the world and change this world. The world doesn't change because Christians aren't changing it. This country isn't changing because Christians aren't out changing it. And it starts right here in Cory, Pennsylvania. It starts with you and I. Who does it? We do it. When do we do it? We do it when we go out there. When we leave these doors, we go out there and we evangelize the world. We go out there and tell them about God. We tell them what God is doing in our lives. If we hold it to ourselves, we are no purpose. We are not being any of any purpose. We're just being a pile of us. Hallelujah. We don't want to just be a pile of us. We want to be a pile of purpose. Say that 10 times fast. Praise God. To be conformed to his Son. He is the firstborn among many brethren. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I want to flip over to Romans 6:4. We're closing with this. Praise the Lord. I just turned a page. But while you're flipping there, I'm going to read you Romans 6:21. It says, what fruit did you have then in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Life. What's the end of death? What is death? What's the end or the thing that ends in death? What you did before Jesus. The life you lived before, that was death. If you still live that life, that's the life of death. We have to understand that we've been renovated. We've been changed. We have to understand that we are now, we're museums. We are something to behold. We are something to be desired. We are something worth charging admission to. We are something worth putting on display, saying, you know what, you can't take pictures here. You have to buy pictures that someone else took. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? We're worth more. Yeah. We're worth a lot more because we have Jesus. Right. Christians, you got to stop beating up on yourself too. You got to stop looking down on yourself. The plan of God is being purposed in you, but it can't be purposed if you look at yourself like a pile of trash. You are not trash. You've been saved for good works. If you're saved for good works, then the work... Listen, if the works are good, then the work is good. Worker's good. If the fruit is good, the tree is good. Jesus told us that. So if you've been saved for good works and you're walking in good works, guess what? You're a good tree. I said, you're a good tree. Hallelujah. Don't look down on yourself anymore. Did you find Romans 6:4? We'll close with this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, we were buried with him, Jesus, through baptism into death. This is what baptism is for, right? It's showing that we are buried with Jesus. Hallelujah. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, just as he was raised from the dead. Think about this. Oh, my gosh. Think about it. Just as Jesus was raised, we all believe Jesus was raised from the dead, right? By the glory of God, his power raised Jesus from the dead. Just as that thing happened, praise the Lord. Got to find it again. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. What life are you walking in? What life are you walking out? Are you a slave to the grind? Does every single day look the same to you? Are you doing the same thing day in and day out with no purpose, with no direction, and nothing's changing? Walk in the newness of life, because that's what God has called you to do. Find out his purpose. Find out his plan for your life. Praise the Lord. Get connected to it and say, you know what? I'm not going back. I'm not going back to death. I'm going on into life. Hallelujah. Christian, you have a choice to live in life or to live in death. You have the choice. It's up to you. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. God, we thank you that we can walk in the newness of life. And not just that we can, but we will. Father, we praise you for it. We worship you for it. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so good. Yes, Lord. The newness of life. joy unspeakable. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Now, I just got something for you. I want everybody to listen to me. The joy of the Lord is contagious. The joy of the Lord is contagious. Joy looks like something. Joy does not look sad. Joy does not look miserable. It doesn't look upset. It looks like something. If you are to walk in the joy of the Lord, you need to put on the joy of the Lord. If you are not exhibiting the joy of the Lord, don't say it through my personality or anything like that. There's no excuse for it. God has called you to a new purpose. If you do not walk in the joy of the Lord, it's because you choose not to walk in the joy of the Lord. When you're happy, there is an expression on your face that shows where you're at, how you're feeling. If you learn to put that smile on your face, you will walk in it a lot better.